Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody should get information on the Green Bay Packers from Jason Wilde every day of the year when he's not on this show. You just go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and you can get Wilde and Tausch and everything there and all the other appearances. I don't know. Is there a list anywhere of all the times that Jason Wilde is available to be heard on various shows? We should have that somewhere.
But Jason, it should be Wilde, a master list, yeah.
Yeah, every week. Just check. Jason Wilde, what time, what day? Good evening, Jason.
Like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? What time is Wilde?
Yeah, that's right. If I'm a Packer fan, I want to know. When are you on next after this? This is aside from your show. Your show is 9 to 12 every Monday through Friday. People know that. But then how many other appearances in a week do you make? 10?
At least. Let's say I do 3 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I do 2 with you. That's 5. 2 with KBN. That's 7. Rutledge and Hamilton. That's 8.
Sunday Karma.
That's about a half, because, I mean, I don't know. How many weeks do you do that? God knows when that show's on.
Yeah, right? But it's always like a half hour. Craig and I just sort
right.
of riff. So
that's true. It's long, but it's not every week.
Right.
That's true. I feel like I'm missing something.
All right. Well, Pebble, get that list. Work it out. It should be available to somebody, because I want to tell people that you want to know
Pebble's
what Jason Wilde's on.
I'll put it together.
Oh, good. All right. Very good.
Pebble's got enough going.
Put it up somewhere, or send it to me, or you put it up somewhere, because otherwise you'll send it to me and I'll use it in a way that you don't like, and then who knows what will happen.
You'll give it attention it doesn't deserve.
All right, I want to know if I have, in your opinion, ever said anything as stupid as this. This is Dave Kaplan.
Dave Kaplan.
Who I've known for like 100 years. I knew him when he was a basketball coach at Northern Illinois.
Yeah, ESPN Chicago. I'm with KBN earlier today with a crazy
Caleb Williams
take.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this right now because I'm going to record my little YouTube short in a little bit. Let me just tell you right now, when his career ends in Chicago 15 years from now, he says he wants to play 20 years. I'll give him 15. The only athlete that will be held in higher reverence in the history of Chicago is Michael Jordan.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even put that on him. Why would you even put him in the same sentence as MJ?
That's a take.
No, that's the stupidest thing I've heard in years. I want to mention that I want to be on record. I think he'll be okay, but I would not take him as number one based entirely on the performance by USC's other quarterback. I don't know his name in the bowl
Miller
game.
Miller Moss.
Yeah, nobody. What did he throw for 600 yards and 6 touchdowns? Proving to me that the greatness of Caleb Williams, to some degree, is the system at USC and the very good offensive coordinator as a head coach. So,
I think you got to be careful about the bowl games because
I understand yes.
Good Pebble's a smart guy, and obviously his Michigan Wolverines played a meaningful games as opposed to bowl games. But, like, who the heck is playing in those games, right?
Correct.
Like,
good point.
I think you got to be careful of that. I have found it fascinating. And I was watching something that my buddy David Fleming, who is one of my favorite writers, wrote for ESPN the magazine while it still existed, did a big piece on Caleb Williams. And I want to be clear, this is not what David thinks. This is what an former NFL scout said to him. Because I think this is really unfair. And there's someone in this draft industrial complex who used to use anonymous quotes to make guys look bad. And I've always taken issue with that because that's opinion. So I really have an issue with that. And
really?
The only reason because these are opinions.
Yeah, but if they're true, they're true.
But opinions can't be true. They can either be proven right or proven wrong eventually, but that doesn't mean that they're...
Well,
like,
true in the sense that someone said it.
Of anonymity.
Well, yeah, but you have to because you can't get anybody to say anything negative unless you give them anonymity, and so then whether people respect my work is based
then
on...
Then you can't do it.
No, wrong. You have to do it.
No,
you need
wrong.
To pass along that information with people that you believe are knowledgeable for anonymous sources to get an accurate portrayal of what's out there. You're not going to say it because what? My reputation is on the line based on the accuracy or how those play out. But how am I going to get anything negative about players? Which is the truth, because all players have positives and negatives that the scouts think about. You'd rather not have that information?
I would rather not have it from guys that can have ulterior motives.
Okay, well,
and I think there are enough people now who are qualified in their assessments that put their names on things, like Dane Brugler, like Daniel Jeremiah.
Not scouts and people within organizations.
And those Daniel Jeremiah was a scout.
What?
He worked in an organization.
He doesn't
Daniel
now.
Daniel Jeremiah was a scout.
He's not
right,
now.
But he knows how to scout. Field Yates was a scout. I don't think you can take guys that could have ulterior motives and give them carte blanche to say whatever the hell they want. That's my opinion, including this guy who says that, and this is why this I couldn't believe the guy said it, was that Caleb Williams is if Prince played quarterback. Because Prince, obviously an eccentric musician, right? Different guy, different cat, ridiculously talented. But for you to for the anonymity that is granted to these scouts, my favorite ones are the former scouts, because they're not in draft rooms anymore, then what makes them any more qualified than Daniel Jeremiah or Field Yates or Dane Brugler or Mel Kiper, because they're not working for a team.
Again,
either.
Excellent point. Yes, it's not the same. I guess it would depend, again, on the person and the quality of their work as a scout, stuff like that. But, yeah, my premise is, yeah, when you do that, you take heat from you and others, and that comes with the territory. But you feel like the information is good, and over time, that reporter will be judged.
You're not understanding me. If you're going to do this,
yes.
And there was a time during my career when I did, and I can tell you who my guys were because they all worked in Green Bay, and they would all make time for me. And if I had a consensus of a group of multiple GMs, because they were all GMs at the time, then I would pass that information along in a way that guarded their anonymity. But I would always say, according to multiple NFL executives, and there are always these quotes that would be used that would catch fire, like the Prince one, because I'm guilty of it. I heard David Fleming say this. So I was like, oh my God, that's a interesting way to frame.
I've heard
Caleb
similar
Williams.
Thoughts about him, worried about the
right,
length of his contract.
Guy. Right, and he paints his nails and stuff. Look, I don't know what Caleb Williams is going to do. And if he's a different kind of guy, if he can play the game and if his teammates can play for him and with him and he has a connectivity with them, I don't care about the other stuff that I think some Bears fans are wringing their hands over because he's different. But that's the kind of stuff that gets attention, right? And I'm telling you it because it got attention from me. My point is that no one really knows how good he's going to be. Neither on the side of David Kaplan, who's in the top five right now of Chicago athletes. It's Jordan, and then who? I mean, it's Peyton, right? But
Walter
I mean,
Peyton
he finally
is
won.
Definitely
he won a Super Bowl
two.
Finally,
yes.
Right? He finally won a Super Bowl with the 86 Bears, even though you know he didn't get score a touchdown in that game, etc. Who else?
The love for Chicago.
Gordie Howe.
It's Chicago. No,
Ryan Sandberg,
Bobby Orr,
Bobby Hull.
Hull.
We're talking about in Chicago. We're starting to get in the Don Hudson era. You know, Ernie Banks. I mean, since
which means that the Catman has a chance. Maybe I don't agree that he would be ahead of Walter Payton, because at least Walter Payton has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
Before,
no, if he's going to be as what David Kaplan says, that resume alone, he's got to do something close to Aaron Rodgers. To be considered in the Michael Jordan era, you got to win something, too. So he's got to win a Super Bowl. I'd say it has to be multiple MVP. And then you also then have all the other stuff in order to transcend your sport. Michael Jordan transcended his sport. There is 0% chance that Caleb Williams is capable of transcending his sport. He's no Caitlin Clark. put me down for that.
That's fair. Has Patrick Mahomes transcended his sport or no?
He's getting very close, yes. Yeah, he's done things to make the degree at which he's done it at a young age, yes. He's close. Excellent choice.
Peyton Manning has?
Now he...
Tom Brady has?
Now he has. Tom Brady did, yes. Peyton Manning, I don't know. Like, his stuff after the players, I would defer to you on those. Those are Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. There aren't many that transcend their sport.
Aaron Rodgers, though?
Aaron Rodgers, absolutely no chance whatsoever. No, he has not transcended the sport in any way.
He almost ran for vice president.
Okay. My thought was, and again, you can make your own thing. My thought is you transcend the sport by how you participate in that sport. Like, you're just so good. And it's just, people just, wow. I expected Ohtani or whatever. I can't even remember his name. I thought that he had the potential to do that. Because when you're compared to Babe Ruth. But, yeah, I don't know. Who else do you have that... Wayne Gretzky transcended his sport, but I'm
apparently the combination of Gordie Howe, Bobby Hull, and Bobby Orr all transcended their sport in my mind since I turned three.
In Boston, Bobby Orr transcended his sport, but I don't know that he did around the. It's hard. Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of baseball players that would even have done that in recent memory or during my lifetime.
And right. I mean, Hank really Aaron hard. Did, but when he played, he wasn't even at the top of the list. The top of the list was Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays. Oh, yeah, Hank Aaron, yeah. And, you know, history has served him well, but I'm of the age that knows there wasn't a day that Hank Aaron was anywhere close to Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. In terms of transcending the sport, he was more than anything underappreciated because of their greatness. But I don't know who is transcended. I got Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan. It's like LeBron James. I think you could say it, but and you have to compare him to Jordan. And
I think that the word transcend is. Reserved for people that reached a level that even
Muhammad Ali probably.
Muhammad Ali, yes, excellent.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Should have thought of that.
Good one.
Yes.
Yep.
You feel,
but
and
Mike
then there's
Tyson didn't.
What? Mike Tyson did
but
for
Mike
a while,
Tyson.
But he.
That was
for short. For short.
It's either got to last or not, right? Like Caitlin Clark, I assume with what she's going to do now for the WNBA interest. I mean, I even saw. You know, Lisa Byington is the voice of the Chicago Sky, in addition to being the voice of the Bucks on Bally Sports Wisconsin. And Sydney and I have taken a greater interest in the Sky after going to a game there. And I see there's already a movement afoot to move their games from whatever the facility is that we saw them play in last summer to play the games against Indiana at the United Center.
Of course, yes.
So they can have more fans.
Yes, without a doubt. She will need to have some success in the pro level.
Sure.
Otherwise, she'll be Ralph Sampson. People have no memory of how spectacular and dominant he was in college basketball because they didn't win a title and he never, you know, you got to. But, yeah, she's Larry Bird in college, and it'll always be that way, and she will have that can't ever be taken away from her in terms of transcending the
sport. Did Larry Bird transcend basketball? Magic might have.
As a college player. Yeah, both did. The two of them together in the pros. But, like, their NCAA championship game was at 40 million, and it's still the most fans ever to watch a championship game. Granted, TV was a little different then. There is no way, 0% chance, that the NCAA women's basketball ratings next year will be anything close to this year. But that's
I'll join that club.
But again, it's still great for all
and
parties
they'll be
involved.
High, right. They'll be higher than they would have been had the Caitlin Clark phenomenon not occurred.
And the WNBA will go through the roof because you have many people, myself included, like, when do they play? Like they're going to be on, they're going to change this and the games are going, I don't know, because I don't know where they're on now. And, you know, more power to them. That's the way the NBA was compared to now before Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. So,
true.
It's
how do you feel about our preview of the NFL draft tomorrow? How do you feel like we did here?
We did fine.
We talked about Caleb Williams.
Well, no, and the reason is I said this and I was going to ask you, but I can't remember a year in which there's a legitimate optimism. Like, you got the quarterback, and Goody's been hot the last couple of years, so let's go. Let's roll it out, and then you'll discuss and mention all the players. There's a confidence in the players that he's taken, that he will take like never before, and you don't have the, you know, you got a young quarterback. Let's roll. When can you remember the last time there was a draft where there was a legitimate optimism, not about the draft, just the draft, but the organization and the GM and the quarterback? Been a while,
yeah,
hasn't it?
I'll say this. Like, this will be his seventh draft. His first four were varying degrees of not very good to meh to, oh, well, he got, you know, a good player or two. And now the last two, although I still argue that his two first-round picks in 2022, the jury is very much still out on
true.
That.
True. Accurate.
The 2022 draft, he got Romeo Doubs, who is his floor is a starting caliber number two wide receiver. And he got Zach Tom, who might be their best offensive lineman. I still think Elgton Jenkins has that title. And then he also, in that 2022 draft, got Rashid Walker. Whether he's going to be replaced at left tackle or not, we'll see. But the 2022 draft is good, and if Quay Walker becomes a field tilter, because I'm a Devontae Wyatt doubter. I'm open to being proven wrong on him. But at this point, the two first-round picks are not good enough. They're not even significantly better than, say, Eric Stokes, who's missed the amount of time that he has. But, you know, they played more than Stokes, but they haven't done a ton. So this is a crucial year for those guys to change the way I view the 2022 draft. The 23 draft, as of right now, with what you've got, with what those wide receivers did, with what the tight ends did, if he can replicate that, then they're going to be in really good shape. So, yes, I think there's an optimism because the last two drafts have been better than the first four. There's a greater confidence among fans that he's going to pick well. And he appears to have improved his drafting. Now, maybe that's just luck, maybe that's circumstance, whatever it is. But if he can continue that upward trend, then they're going to make their team a lot better in the next 3 days, and then they're going to have a shot to you know, be planned for a trip to the Super Bowl by January.
And lastly, because you've talked about it, the measurables, the importance of measurables, maybe you knew this. I didn't until I listened a couple of days ago when he talked that the measurables are important because he thinks that's an indication of someone's ability to have a bigger upside. You know, if that's that, had you heard that before? Was that the?
Yeah, I mean, no, I think he's always felt that, but I also think, you know, there was a caveat to that. Of first of all, the guy's got to play the game. He's got to be able to play.
Right.
Right. And that's why the film. You know, I think there have certainly been cases throughout NFL history where guys were just, oh, he's such an incredible athlete.
Right.
We can figure out the football piece. And then they realize, very rarely.
No, he doesn't do that. But two things, guys that are equal, he's taking the guy with the measurables every time, right?
With the yes, I would say that the relative athletic score, more so than whether or not the guy's an inch taller or his arm is an inch longer, the athleticism score is probably that tiebreaker for him. And there have certainly been instances where they chose guys that probably had the same grade, but the guy was a better athlete. And of late, that seems to have worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, I'm not even saying it works. I'm just saying that's something upon which you
definitely
can...
part of the right, definitely you... part of the a major part of his equation.
I mean, Rashawn Gary, I'm assuming, would be a perfect example. There was a gamble there to some degree, but you know, off the chart those scores, and think, hey. He's got a chance to have a bigger upside.
Yeah, he's a really good example too, because the regret I have with him, I mean, I don't personally regret it, but the regret we should have in terms of knowing where he is exactly is he's gotten the contract he was on, in my opinion, the precipice of being one of the elite pass rushers. And then he tore his ACL in Detroit. And now I didn't think he was that great last year. And I give him a pass because he was coming off an ACL. But if he has the kind of season this year that he had last year, he goes from being a guy that you're thinking, oh, he could really be an elite pass rusher to he hasn't really lived up to the number 12 overall pick now. If he has the same season, I don't think he will. I think he'll be back to being a borderline field-tilting player in 2023.
Thanks, Jason. We'll talk tomorrow.
I look forward to that list out. Wait, I'm going to talk to you tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm on the draft thing from 7 to 10. You got to be on at some point in those 3 hours.
I guess I have no choice but to talk to you.
You can refuse. You can refuse. You can tell, and I will report anonymous sources say that Jason doesn't want to be on with me.
A longtime former NFL scout says Homer sucks.
That's right.
And Wilde didn't come on because of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
Take care.
Jason.
Be good.
The draft is upon us. ESPN Wisconsin bringing its pick straight to you. First round live from the Q Club of Wisconsin tomorrow. Get ready for the unforgettable night packed with draft insights and everything. All the people are there. Wilde and Tausch, Chewy, Bulaga, Ellerson, John Anderson, Rob Domofsky, and more. Be there for the ESPN Wisconsin's draft night brought to you by the Q Club of Wisconsin. I'll be there doing the show 5 to 6 with Gary Ellerson, and then what I'm on 7 to 10 with everybody else. Right? Good. Q Club, be there tomorrow. Have some Fireball with me. Can I say that on the air, right? That's okay, isn't it?
That's fine, yeah. You're not buying it for anybody. You're not offering it for anybody.
Right,
so.
And I can't have it from 7 to 10, right?
No, not during the show, no.
Yeah, there we go. Next.